Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine. But they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. It is 1:07 here in St. Louis. We're grateful that you're spending some of your time with St. Louis's home for conservative talk. Appreciate you being here with us. I got my eye on, I don't know what I would say is breaking news, but there is a lot of attention right now being paid to Iran and their positioning towards Israel. And there are multiple reports out there that suggest that there is some sort of threat that is imminent against Israel from Iran. And, you know, this is an elevation of where we have been previously. Fox News is reporting that the United States continues to closely monitor what it deems to be credible threats of an Iranian attack on Israel in response to a strike on Iran's Damascus consulate, even as reports indicate that Iran is looking to deploy a non-escalatory response. The United States is also moving, quote, additional assets to the Middle East region to, quote, bolster regional deterrence efforts and increase force protection for United States forces. That is according to a United States defense official who spoke with Fox News today. Quote, I would just say that we're watching this very, very closely. United States National Security Coordinator for Strategic Communications John Kirby, who we hear speak on these things quite a bit, was speaking with reporters today. He went on to say, we still deem the potential threat by Iran here to be real, to be viable, certainly credible, and we're watching it as closely as we can. So let's listen in right now to it's Dan Hoffman, who is the former CIA station chief, and just hear what his reaction is in this moment while this news is kind of breaking.
Really playing our strong hand when it comes to deterrence. Mm-hmm. I do agree with General Keane. I would add only one point, and that is Iran has faced a lot of domestic unrest, and that has also got to be a concern for the regime. They would lose in a direct conflict with Israel or with the Israeli and the United States. So they don't want a direct conflict. But they do have to do something because the IRGC has failed to deter Israel from launching key strikes against IRGC leaders. And so that's where we stand. The key, John, as you outlined, is What about the day after? What happens after Iran launches their strike? How does Israel respond? How do we respond?
Yeah.
And to quote Margaret Thatcher, to paraphrase her back in the day, it's not a good time to go wobbly if you're the president of the United States. This is one of those times when leadership really matters and message discipline matters.
So as we saw back in January 2020, when the Trump administration took out Soleimani, there was an Iranian response at Al-Asad Air Base. The president, Donald Trump, had been advised through intermediaries that it would be a limited strike, more of a show than anything. There were some U.S. personnel who were injured, but it was fairly limited. Do you expect that Iran might follow a similar model, though perhaps more limited this time around?
It's awfully hard to predict. There are a lot of different calculations that Iran made back then, and they may be different now. I would highlight that strike where Iran's response was pretty faint. And when Israel launched a successful kinetic strike against the head of Iran's nuclear program, Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, back in November of 2020, mm-hmm. Same thing. The Iranian response was pretty faint in that case as well. But Iran, I think, is going to mount the largest counterstrike that they feel like they can get away with without risking a wider war. And that's going to reflect the extent to which we have deterred Iran. So we'll have to see how it plays out, John.
So Fox News continues to report Tehran has continued to threaten a response against Israel for the attack on that Iranian consulate in Damascus that killed seven Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. You know them as the IRGC members, including two generals. Hezbollah leadership over the weekend at the annual Quds Day commemoration in Iran also touted their readiness and willingness to launch retaliation against Israel for the attack. We don't have, and we're not going to get today, an expert on this to unfold what is going to happen at this time. We'll, if we find out from the Reardon Show that they're going to weigh in on this, we'll make sure we give you the heads up on it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, don't you just wish that you trust the guy in the Oval Office? Don't you just wish that when you hear all this is going on, that you know that America is going to be represented in the most... In the strongest, presenting with the most strength and resolve. The idea that what America's role is in this, whether it's a super active role, a super present role in the negotiations or in the communications or the mediation, don't you just wish that America was showing up fully principled, fully resolved to handle this? And don't you just absolutely have no confidence that Joe Biden is the guy to do it? That's what upsets me about moments like this, because I would prefer Donald Trump be the guy in the Oval Office right now. He's not. Joe Biden is our president. I would feel better. I would feel comforted by the idea that somehow or another we have a position that isn't entirely reactionary. The idea that we have emboldened Iran. I mean, if you look at where Iran is on the world stage right now, it is because of your tax dollars that Iran is able to do some of the things that they are able to do. It is because of this administration that Russia has been enriched to do the things that they are able to do. The Biden administration has seen to it that it's not only not America first, and I don't even know that it's America last. I don't think it's America at all. I think that this administration has such inverted priorities that don't reflect what the security, the sovereignty of the United States of America requires for people like you and people like me, people who are raising families, who want to live in a country where we feel as though we are safe and secure. It's not just on a global scale that we feel less safe and secure. From our own borders, we do not feel safe and secure. In our own towns, we do not feel safe and secure. And at every turn, Democrat policy is responsible. At every turn. Joe Biden and the Obama machine that keeps him afloat is intentionally trying to destroy this country. And they are succeeding at it. And, you know, on Monday, if we're talking about some major news event that took place in Israel, That'll have Joe Biden's fingerprints on it, too, mm-hmm. if it comes at the hands of Iran.
Yeah.
It's just, it's very unsettling.
You asked earlier, you said, wouldn't you like to know that the United States is on a good footing and ready and prepared for this, and that the leadership would be strong? And what I wish that the United States, I wish that the adversaries of the United States had this idea about the United States, that we don't want to mess with them. Whatever actions we take, whatever things that are irritating to us about the United States, whatever it is, any sort of negative action that we take toward them or their proxies would so not be worth the response.
No F-A-F-O.
Yes. We want them to look at it and go, those guys will respond with stuff that you've never seen before, and they will lay waste to us. That's what I want from my government, because then whenever they're afraid of us, then they don't do stuff. They don't mess around. Yes, Iran responded after Soleimani was killed, but it wasn't a big response. It wasn't like a huge, like they airstriked the base and wiped the base out. I don't even know if anybody died from that strike. And we took out their number one guy in charge of the Republican Guard. They were like, okay, we have to respond, but we can't respond so largely that the United States is then going to counter respond and glass us. And that's what I want. I want my government. I want my military. I want Russia, Iran. I want China. I want North Korea to fear us and fear what we would do to them if they ever messed with us. And it's not like that right now.
Also, within the last 6 months, I think the other unfortunate thing is that we have been, at least in principle, on the same page mm-hmm. as both parties. Mm-hmm. But because of the administration that's in place, their lack of vision, they just respond to everything. They don't really have any guiding vision for anything.
Well, the reason that is, I think, is because they're so politically, they have a politics mindset. So they do have a vision, but that vision doesn't go past November.
It just moves.
And yeah. So that's why they react. They say, okay, here's how we're going to respond. What do the polls say? All right, the people don't like that, so we're going to do this now. And that's why I think that's why you've seen the shift in Israel. I think that the protests and the marches and all that other stuff have had an effect on them. And yeah. That's not good for the country, because that just makes them look wishy-washy and feckless, and it doesn't instill fear in those enemy nations.
Even if you feel as though the enriching of Iran, the enriching of Ukraine, the policy positions, and it's not isolationist at all. I know that Joe Biden's aggressive decision at hand in Afghanistan of trying to be more isolationist and getting out of there was just an epic fail, mm-hmm. a bloody disaster, a disgrace on those who have served, those who are serving, those who knew that the Afghanistan pullout was not going to be executed in the way it should have been, and still stood in the administration and honestly went along with it, even though they advised this incompetent president to not go through with it. These are not election day issues, in that we drum them up to get a vote on election day. And then if we win the vote, we just high five and move on. Like I said, these are bloody issues. And Joe Biden does not care the most about the security and sovereignty of the country that he leads. And I you can try to convince me otherwise, but that's a pretty tall order. I got eyes and I got ears and a couple brain cells to rub together. And, you know, I see what I see, I hear what I hear, and I know what I know. And the series of intentional events that have led to where we are in the world right now are unforgivable. And I mean, I will be as so bold to say is I think that Joe Biden's actions and inactions, intentional inactions on the southern border, are treasonous. The duty of the president of the United States to protect our country and to protect, you know, not just the people who live in those cities and those counties and the states that are on the southern border, but all of the people in this country, the willful ignorance, the political calculation of this administration, I mean, I feel like I'm saying bold words that aren't even bold enough. It's a tragedy. And we've got until November 5th to choose differently and until January to implement a change that I hope America is awake enough to see. We are always 1 minute away from this world dramatically changing. Mm-hmm. And I know we know that, but we also don't think about it. But I know we know that. The stories that would be world history shocking stories that could develop in any minute, once they unfold, when you ask yourself the question, should we have seen this coming? The answer would be yes. We have people on, regular experts, because I'm no expert. We have experts who come on this show and have laid it out for us for years. And it's gotten worse and worse as time goes on. We'll watch and see if anything develops today. God willing, it's a non-story. And maybe I'm just incredibly wrong on the issue. That would be the good news. We're going to do a little Ask Us Anything when we come back. So if you've got a question you want the show to answer, one of us to answer, me to answer, go on to the Annie Fry YouTube chat and leave your comment or question for Ask Us Anything right there in the YouTube chat. And while you're there, you need to vote in today's YouTube live chat poll. It's a pretty simple one. Did OJ do it? Yes or no? Let us know what you think. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You have to ask me nicely.
Don't make me beg here.
Ask me anything.
Tell me the truth!
Brad, you had the first question?
Yeah.
Yes, and now I have my mic on.
My first question is, do you have your microphone
yeah,
on?
Yeah, no, it's the answer is no, I didn't.
Okay.
My question is have you guys ever been in, and I sent this to you so you had some time to think about it, but have you ever been in a situation where out of dumb luck or odd circumstance or whatever, you couldn't do whatever it is you were planning to do, and that ended up helping you avoid a very dangerous situation or
do
something
you?
That could have been worse? I didn't have one offhand. I was thinking through it, but I was just kind of thinking through my mind. I was like, I wonder if anybody else had that.
Leah? You said like a Final Destination situation.
Yeah, in that kind of way.
I have not, thankfully, knock on wood.
I don't know that I have one where I avoided death. But I do have one of those situations where, and I may have told this story, but I got pulled over. I was coming home from a party when I was in college late one night. It was probably 2 a.m. So anybody on the road on a Saturday night, 2 a.m, you're a suspect.
Yeah. Yeah.
For something.
Sus.
Unless you're working, you're probably up to no good. And I don't know that I was up to no good, but I was coming home from a party. I hadn't been drinking, so I was okay. But I got pulled over because I rolled through a stop.
Okay.
I mean, there's nobody for miles around. And
except for that cop.
Yeah, he had his lights all off and he was watching that stop sign because he knew you can see in every direction that there is not a car at 2 a.m. at this stop sign. So rolling through it is real easy to do. And so I did. And then lights on. Oh my gosh, I can't believe there was a cop. Pulls me over. And I did all the right stuff. I took my keys out, put them up on the dash, was coherent. So I was talking to him. It wasn't as if I was drunk or anything. And all of a sudden, like I said, you can see in miles in every direction. This is like farm fields. All of a sudden, he goes, well, I got to go. Like, he asked me a couple questions, then runs away and goes, I got to go. I'm like, whoa, that was pretty sudden. And I look out in that field that I had just been looking at, and there is a gigantic fire in this field.
From the drunks.
That was. I would have to assume there was maybe a party out there.
Field party.
I don't know, because I couldn't see people. I don't know what started that fire, but that guy saw it before I did, and he had to go immediately because it was not there 10 seconds ago. So that was a weird, like, avoiding situation for me. I don't know that I would have gotten a ticket, but I definitely didn't get a ticket.
Spring of 2000, I think it was 2004, I was in a car with Jared. We were dating at the time, and our friends. So there's two couples, and for spring break, we drove down to Jupiter, Florida. And on our way, we were doing we left Madison County, 6 p.m., 7 p.m. or something. We were just going to drive through the night. We were in Tennessee in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. or something like that. And when you're driving through there, southern Illinois into Kentucky and Tennessee, I'm almost certain it was in Tennessee, there are times where the roads are just like you would expect the highways to be, where you've got, you know, two lanes going one way, maybe three lanes going. It was three lanes. Three lanes going south, three lanes going north, and then you can see the cars on the other side, and then the median gets so big, and then there's trees and maybe rolling hills or something, and it separates, and it comes back, and it separates, and it comes back. It was like 1:30 in the morning, maybe 2 in the morning. And I would say that the median at that time was 250 yards wide. Very, very big. And I was driving. I am, as you may know, a night owl, so I have no problem driving. I can usually drive until the sun starts coming up, and then my body's like, you should be asleep. No kidding. So I'm driving, and Jared's in the passenger seat next to me, and the other couple is in the back of the car. And the median was flat but wide. And as I was driving, I was in the left lane. There was a semi truck that was in the middle lane that was in front of me, and I was just moving past the semi truck, about to move past the semi truck. And I just looked over to the left because you could see the oncoming traffic, and there was a car that had left the oncoming traffic lane. And it was like it all happened in slow motion, but I'm sure it was a matter of seconds. And it came across the median to the front left quarter panel of my car, into the lane next to me, and I was like, had just started to get where I was passing that semi, so I couldn't swerve over to the right. The semi, when I go to heaven one day, I'm gonna ask God to show me the aerial footage of what happened there, because I don't know how when I swerved right, I thought I swerved into the semi truck, because that car came, I would say, inches from the driver's side of the car. It was in our lane from all, and I just watched it coming at my car, and it was like surreal at first. It was like, whoa, what happened there? He swerved in. There had been a pile of cars that was kind of waiting to pass that semi anyway behind me, just in a natural flow of traffic. So there was a lot of bulked up traffic right there. Swerved up into our traffic lane and then swerved right and went back into the median, and it missed us. And I mean, I like screamed. I thought I was dead, and I wasn't. And the second we got past the semi, so it might have been like 4 or 5 seconds past when the car just barely missed us, our gas light came on, and then we just pulled off the next exit to get gas. I remember it was a Shell station. And I don't think I blinked for 2 hours, because I was just so stunned. It was such a close call. And I've always thought, like, if I'd have been going 1 mile an hour faster, 1 mile an hour slower, I don't even understand the physics of what happened that day to keep me from being a pancake on the highway that day. But that, I don't know what happened to that driver. If they fell asleep, which is totally possible, had a medical event, which is totally possible, was drunk, totally possible, but the only person who ultimately was affected by that was the driver, and they ended up in the median without hitting anybody. So that would be mine.
Listener question.
Sure.
I'm going to go to Dirk's question here. Do you prefer Major League Baseball with or without a designated hitter?
I prefer it being both in the same in both leagues. Same in both leagues.
That is exactly what I was going to say.
I'm a fan of no DH. And if to get no DH, to get the DH out of the game, I'm happy with the AL having to play without a DH as well. So I think that having a DH removes a lot of the strategy from the game, removes a lot of the forward thinking. And I think that we have like less talented managers now who aren't as forward thinking about the game as they would have been if they had to pay attention to who's coming up and when and the decisions made. I just think the game was more interesting. And I know people are like, yeah, but you lose a good hitter. Don't care. I don't watch baseball just to see people hit. If I wanted to do that, I'd watch home run derbies.
I like the DH a lot more than I expected to. And, you know, as a what people refer to as like a baseball purist and pitchers should be hitting. I don't miss pitchers hitting. I don't miss pitchers getting injured, which is the biggest thing in a throwaway at bat. So I think that it has been a lot better than I thought it would be. And I see the value in letting the offense do the offense and the defense do the defense. I just wish whatever it is, I just want both leagues to be the same. Because it's like you get in the World Series and it's like stupid.
Yeah, you're playing with a disadvantage if you're in the NL. Would you take it back if it were just NL had it,
sure.
though?
Sure.
Would you, okay. All right. Well,
Leah might want to answer that.
Go ahead.
I don't.
No. Okay.
I don't care. I don't pay that much attention to baseball. So,
next question from Doug. Listeners asks, "What's an easy thing? Quote easy that you can't seem to do?
Sleep.
Oh, that's a good answer.
This one's going to sound really stupid, but converting Pacific time into Central Time. And now that I've said it out loud and everybody knows that I struggle with this is something that Dave Murray and I laugh about whenever I'm trying to schedule him because I'm like so messed it up so many times that I have to go back and check it online. But
I would think that's with a lot of people.
When we do booking for the show, I book in Eastern Time because that's where 99% of everybody is. And, you know, Fox is in Eastern Time Zone, CNN's in Eastern Time Zone, all the big media conglomerates are over there on the East Coast.
And if you're not in Eastern Time Zone, you've adapted to just doing it in Eastern Time Zone.
But there's a couple people that I only book in Pacific Time, and because they're 2 hours behind us, it throws me off, and I will screw it up by an hour almost.
It's 11:36 Pacific right now.
Brad. Yes.
Leah? Yep.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of something for me, but when you started talking, I was going to answer for you.
Oh, okay. Oh, thanks, Leah.
Please.
And say spell.
Oh, yeah. But spelling's not easy.
He's asking me all the time, how do you spell this? It's like something like silly, like a silly question. Or a silly word. I'm like, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I'm just like,
okay, Brad, what does Leah not do
yeah,
well?
let's go.
Brian?
Yeah, let's hear it.
No, I'm taking that pitch.
Yeah, I am the same. I only have things that Brad can't do well.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Let me have it, Ryan. I'm not going to take the pitch on you.
No, for me, it is very obvious that I cannot put together even the most simple child's toy, let alone a bed frame or a cabinet or any. I cannot do handyman work, and I try. That's the problem. Is that I will try, and then I end up just basically throwing something down and saying, this is why I never try. But I do try. I'm bad at it.
What's an easy thing you can't seem to do? See, I'm kind of a quitter. Like, if I can't do it, I'm not doing it. I'll ask someone for help or pay someone to do it.
I have one.
Ooh, Leah just thought of one.
No.
This is good. I like this.
No.
This new segment is going to be called Ask Leah Anything.
About the cast.
Yeah.
Scoop on everything that has to do with the show.
No, I was thinking I cannot cook anything.
You can't cook?
No, I don't. I just recently learned how to turn the stove on, so.
Hope it wasn't a gas stove. Yeah. You just learned right at the last minute.
You learned how to turn it off, more importantly.
You're going to have to figure out how to do an electric stove now.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. Is there something I can't do that's easy that comes to mind?
Not offhand.
I feel like this is something I'm going to lay in bed tonight and I'm going to come up with like, oh, can't do that.
Yeah.
Can't do that. Which would be my first answer is sleep. But I don't know. I just don't engage in things. If I'm not good at it, I will own that I'm not good at it and then I will no longer attempt to do it and find a different solution to get it done. I'm not afraid to do that. My question, pulp or no pulp?
Clearly no pulp. If you like pulp, you're insane.
I am. The more pulp, the merrier.
Oh, man. I'm with Ryan on this one. No pulp. I don't want to chew my orange juice.
Thank you.
Fiber.
I can't tell you the last time I drank orange juice. I'm sorry.
It's not good for you. It's got too much sugar.
Yeah.
But it's juice, so...
She's too healthy
for
that.
You don't have to have... There's not like a requirement of the last time to have orange juice in order to determine whether you prefer pulp or don't prefer pulp. Yeah.
I'm
going to
say no pulp.
Yeah, darn right you are. Thank you. I would like to ask this question of the group. Is there, based on your conversation yesterday, is there a track and field event that you really do enjoy watching?
No.
None?
No.
Wow. I mean, not just local, like Olympics or anything.
No,
track and field event,
no,
though.
Especially no.
Okay.
Okay, they're running fast. They're all running fast.
I saw footage today of a triple jump that I was like, man, that's kind of fun to watch.
I don't disrespect the talent cool. and the skill that is involved in it. I don't want to watch it.
I also like the high jump, not the pole vault, the high jump, where there's no, you're just jumping as high as you can to get over a bar. That's impressive. I can only watch it for about 2 minutes.
No, you're saying it's impressive.
Yeah.
I don't want people to confuse my complete and total disinterest in watching you do it, then finding out, oh, you can high jump 10 feet? That is very impressive.
Yes.
Because it is.
It is.
And I can't do it. I don't want to watch it.
Well, I can do it. I just don't get real high. Like, if you put a bar pretty low, I could probably do that.
I don't believe you. Prove it.
I will.
I'm ready to video it.
I'm going to prove it in that park.
We should have our own track meet.
Oh, man.
Answer?
I'm with Annie on this one. It's like, I was like, yeah, the 400 meter was cool when Michael Johnson ran that and got the gold medal and he had the gold spikes. But that was just cool because he was an American setting a record and he was really fast. And that was, but it's just people running or people throwing or people jumping. And it's always more entertaining when you add more elements to a sport.
See,
so
Wavy is making my point here without making my point. He said, my kid is one of the best at track and field in Illinois. And I've seen his posts and I know that's true. So I love watching her. You don't love watching track, Wavy. You love watching your daughter, as you should. He would have said, he would have glorified the spectacle, not his amazingly accomplished and athletic daughter, who is amazing. And I would be very proud and proud when I watch my kid do one of the things he does. The other ones, I'm like, yeah, we could do something else now.
The criteria almost would have to be, as I'm thinking about this, would you show up in person to watch that event, said event, if you had no attachment
God,
to
no.
it?
No.
And I now that I'm thinking about that, I can't think of it, unless it were the Olympics and it were in St.
Yeah,
Louis.
Yeah, but it's the Olympics.
And I would go to watch a track event in St. Louis just because it was the Olympics, but not because it
that.
Was track. So I still thought some of those are still kind of fun to watch.
You'd rather watch curling than track. Everybody would.
She's right.
I'm not going to disagree with it.
She's right.
Temperature controlled. Weird looking accountant men playing it.
Yeah,
you're
there's an appeal to that.
Like, I could do that too.
Yeah. Well, like I said, though, I could.
You look at people running the 100 meter dash. You're like, I can't do that. Curling. There's a dream there.
No, you take it back though. You could do that. You just wouldn't do it as well.
What, curling?
Any of the track and field events.
No.
You could do it.
I told the story yesterday. I was a thrower, and when it came time to fill out and get as many points for the track and field team as possible, my track coach told me I could walk the 4x800. No, sir, I cannot. Mm-hmm. I have too much pride to do that. I will murder myself jogging slowly just so that people aren't like, she's walking it.
But you did it.
I did it for my
you
team.
You did it for
I did
your
it.
Team.
She's a team player.
Yeah.
This was 22 years ago and I'm still mad.
Well, I just want to put it out there that all four of us, as I understand it, still have 4 years of college athletic eligibility.
I don't.
If anybody needs. You don't?
No.
I don't either.
Now you got to tell me why.
I played two and a half or 3 years of soccer and softball and then a year of Olympic weightlifting.
Holy smokes. So you're out.
Yeah.
So you can't be drafted at all.
Well, I'm done with college, so I'm not going to go back just to play a sport.
Well, we might. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So we're available if there's any D1 schools that are interested.
Specifically D1?
Track and field question real quick.
Okay.
Only for the NIL, though, right?
Yeah.
Watch, no. Compete, maybe.
Okay.
What if I can get Stewie to sponsor my Olympic career in track and field?
I mean, I'm here for it.
And I guess it has to be collegiate. I need the name, image, likeness. Like, oh, yeah. There's that Bagalone runner. It's weird that the Bagalone runner is walking.
Yeah, and you got to go to some school that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though.
Trump University.
That is must-see TV.
I'm on the Trump I'm University that. Track team.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
As I understood it, this university wasn't real and also was shut down by Letitia James. But here she is, running the bagel loan.
All right. Let's take a break. We got some more questions we'll get to. So if you have questions you want to pose to us, you can go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and leave them in the comments of the live chat of the live broadcast right now. And do that right after you vote. Did OJ do it? CNN implies that maybe some of the MAGA people would have been OJ sympathizers, and we just thought, well, we know some MAGA people. We'll ask them. Did OJ do it? Yes or no? Got to find out your answer on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We've been doing a little Ask Us Anything, and I have a question here that I had saved and set aside for us to talk about at a different time. And I thought this would be a good time. Is it ever too late to send a thank you note? This is from a Miss Manners article, and the person wrote, "Dear Miss Manners, I'm a terrible procrastinator. I have procrastinated sending thank you letters for multiple years for multiple events, our wedding, baby shower, child's birthday parties. The worst offense is our wedding 5 years ago. Is it ever too late to send a thank you letter? Could I send a single thank you now for the gifts and attendance to all of these events?"
I'm going to say yes, although I think there's, like, if you wrote the message right, maybe you could still get away with it. But for a baby shower event, writing a thank you note and saying, "Hey, I know Junior's 12 now, but I wanted to thank you for the onesie." Like, it just seems like there's probably an expiration date on that.
Does it have to be written, or can it be like a text?
No, a thank you note, a formal thank you note. Like, okay. Yeah. What do you think?
I'm going to say no. I don't mind being tacky and sending something 10 years later.
Brad?
I don't think there's any problem with it. I'm the kind of person where if somebody didn't say thank you, I would probably forget about them not saying thank you. And then, like, when I get the letter in the mail, like, 4 years ago, I'm like, oh, well, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been happy to get it and that sort of thing. So,
Miss Manners replied, "Yes, but it better be a good one. Being a procrastinator is not a decent excuse, and Miss Manners is not going to let you off the hook by declaring a statute of limitations. What you need to atone for is not postponement so much as blatantly apparent ingratitude. So you need to name and praise your use of each of these presents, at least vaguely, if you can't remember what they were, and also express appreciation for your benefactor's continued thoughtfulness and generosity over the years. Yes, this will be a lot of work, but when you do not pay a debt when it is due, it accrues interest."
Ooh, so mm-hmm. You got to really, really give it to them. Really give them a thanks. Thank you. Yeah.
I think my answer to this question is simply, like, this person who's writing this is burdened by this, so you need to do it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. And if you do it, and to me, if somebody sent a thank you note and it was delayed, like Brad, like I don't have a list of gifts at home and like checking the box afterwards after it's been thanked for. But if I got a thank you note and it was for something that was really far past, and in the note they said, you know, "We have been meaning to get word to you of our gratitude for your love and support and generosity for so much time. And we hated that it's been in bothering us because you're important to us. And we just wanted to tell you we're really grateful for it. That would probably stop me in my tracks more than an on-time thank you note, just to know that somebody had been thinking about it and wanted to express that gratitude and was willing to do the work, write it down, put it in the mail so that I would know that. I'm not advising to wait, but I would almost take that gratitude with more comfort than I would the initial, you know, thanks for coming to my wedding. I love the mixer. Yeah. I look forward to using it in our new home together. Bride.
Yeah. You know what else I'd love to see is, let's say it was a pretty long time and it was something like either a wedding gift or a graduation gift or something, and it had been 5 or 10 years. I would like to know what I was giving at that moment. Oh. To see, I gave you $25 in 2006. Now I'm giving $75 for those occasions, partially because of inflation, partially because I didn't have any money back then or whatever it was. I would just like to keep track of that.
Russell asks on our YouTube channel, do you like to barbecue? If so, what's your favorite thing to grill? I like to eat what my husband grills and barbecues. I don't honestly, I could figure it out given the right amount of time, but I wouldn't know how to grill.
I don't grill as much as I would like to, although we have a grill. I would say I cook, when I cook meat, it's more inside, and I just do Andrea sauce and hamburgers. That's one of my favorite things to make because it's just so simple and it's good.
I mean, I've got a pellet smoker, and so I've gotten more into this as of late, and my favorite thing ever to make on there is steak. So you take a steak and you smoke it for the amount of time, and then they call it a reverse sear, so you turn the temperature way up and move the grate so the flames come through, and then you
Brian,
sear it on both sides.
He's mansplaining it to you.
It is so
good. I understand. Yeah.
It is so good.
As he should. Like, that is his right as a man to do that.
What did you just say? Reverse sear?
Reverse sear, yeah. It's when you sear it after you cook it instead of before you cook it.
I have a lot of people driving through St. Louis right now. They got barbecue chops, and Brad just said that, and they all went,
mm. Oh, yeah. He sears it. I roebuck it.
Kenny on YouTube says, creamy or crunchy PB? Creamy.
Man, I grew up with creamy, but I wouldn't turn crunchy down either.
What are you buying for yourself?
Creamy, just out of habit.
Yeah, creamy. Here's a follow-up question for you, though. Do you buy the stuff that's like so authentic that it separates while it's in the jar? You know what I'm talking about? That's that?
Every time I open this up, I have in my hand creamy no stir.
Yeah.
It says no stir. Creamy no stir, natural Maranatha. I don't know. Almond butter.
Mm.
But I will open it and I will turn it over and let the stuff run out that's on top.
So it's pretty natural.
Yeah. So okay. What did you say, Leah?
Oh, I said creamy.
You said creamy?
I went through a crunchy phase, but I'm back to creamy. Well, I mean, we all go through that phase in college.
Like granola?
Yeah.
That was Ryan's college phase. Crunchy peanut butter.
Yeah.
I was looking for any more questions here. Do you guys have any more? Here's one. I want to know the answer. From Bobo. Would you rather go to jail for a year or go to jail with a Rubik's Cube and you can leave when you've solved it?
Oh, Rubik's Cube.
Can you solve a Rubik's Cube?
No. But yeah, I'm confident that I could do it within a year.
I'm not.
You're going for a year?
Yeah.
You're taking the year?
Yeah.
I think I could figure out a Rubik's Cube in less than a year. So
I could figure out a Rubik's Cube. My son can solve any Rubik's Cube in like less than 3 minutes.
Really?
Maybe less than 60 seconds.
Now, if it came to a month and a Rubik's Cube, then I don't know, because I might not be able to do it in a month. But give me 6 months. I think I could probably do it.
And last one from Quick Rick. As for the cast, have you filed your tax returns yet? Monday is the filing date. You guys done?
Yep.
Done, Leah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm done, and I could submit online my federal and my Missouri taxes, but for some reason I couldn't submit my Illinois taxes, so we printed them out and sent them in, and I really need confirmation. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm going to ask my husband if he's doing this yet, but I need to make sure that they got them because I sent them off a long time ago.
You don't trust the government of Illinois to receive those properly?
I trust them to be like, Annie Fry, let's set those aside. I don't know. Jared is going to be in to play X's and O's today, along with our very good friend Princess Storm. Why is Jared in studio? Well, you're going to want to tune into the YouTube to see it before you hear it. You go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel right now, and I promise it's going to be really cute. Am I talking about Jared? I don't know. Maybe. Come see what I'm talking about. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.